Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show on this Thursday, the 9th day of January, 2025. That's still taking some getting used to, but by 2 weeks in, we'll get it all figured out, right? It's Mayor Thursday. Chris Staley is here, the mayor of Washington City, the second largest city in Washington County. And where do you rank in the state, Chris, by the way? Are we like 15th or 20th or something?
Somewhere right in there.
Okay, well, cool. He brought a friend with him. Paul Walker is here. Paul, how are you, man?
Yeah, doing great. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for coming in. Paul is the, Assistant Leisure Services Director in charge of Parks and Trails.
Yep, that's correct.
Hey, I did it.
Good job.
I was doing that by memory. I didn't even look at anything. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the projects you have going in Washington City in the next little while. But let's start, Chris, with talking. What's going on in Washington City? I know you had you hosted, I don't know, was it a conference, a meeting?
So it was the winter meeting for the Utah Alliance. Okay. In fact, we hosted it in the old gym, the Heritage Hall.
Okay, which one is it?
Yes.
Yes. It is the old gym, the Heritage Hall now. Yeah, okay.
But as I've talked about before on this show, this has been a really cool project of breathing new life and renovation into that 100-year-old sandstone building.
And this was the first meeting in it, right?
The first meeting. Yeah. And honestly, when I went by the site on Monday, I thought, there is no way CERT Construction can have this done in time to host, you know, a meeting of 120 or so professionals from around the state.
Meeting. Okay. It wasn't just 20 folks. There was 120.
And it's a select group. These are economic development reps from cities. These are, you know, big time builders and realtors. So it was fun. They pulled it off. We were burning the midnight oil 24 hours in a day. And by the time I showed up there about 7:30 on Wednesday morning, they had it looking ready. A few punch list items, but it was ready to go.
That's pretty cool. So can we declare the building done?
The building is done. Once we get the final punch list items done, then we'll have like an official ribbon cutting. And in fact, I plan to do, and I haven't scheduled this yet, but I plan to do a community open house.
Yeah.
Because it's a community.
Like a ribbon cutting thing?
Yeah, I might do both. I might do a ribbon cutting.
We need a ribbon. I think we do.
A ribbon cutting, but also I want to host the community just to come by and just kind of like an open house, kind of a reception where they can come in, see it, maybe get some refreshments, talk to the builder, the architect, myself, and just kind of get a feel for it, because there are some really historic elements to that building that are just really special that I want the community to know about.
Very, very cool.
Can I tell you about one of those?
Yeah.
We found this. So the 100-year-old gymnasium was built onto the back of the almost 150-year-old schoolhouse.
Right.
The four-room schoolhouse. Well, when we had to create an entrance or expand the entrance between the what is now the museum and what now most are calling Heritage Hall, and there it's where two sandstone mason walls come together, and up within the framing was this old pioneer window. It's kind of a half circle. It looks like spokes, like a wagon wheel window. Yeah. That was on hinges that had just been stored up there and built these walls in between and had just been there this whole time.
Wow.
So what we did is we actually pulled the window out, and three of the four panes were still in great shape. We had one of the panes fixed, and then we actually had some of that original trim work around the arch.
Mm-hmm.
So we sanded down to the oldest color. We went through like a mint green, some kind of ugly yellow, and we found kind of this dark, what we call, kind of like the shirt you're wearing today, kind of a forest or rookwood green. Okay. We ended up painting the trim around the window.
The same color as my truck, too, by the way.
And the truck. Okay, yeah. So it's the Andy Griffin window there. And we added this trim. So it's this beautiful transition from the hall into the school. And in fact, it's those same windows on the front side of that landmark museum schoolhouse building above the doors and windows on that two-story building up front. So really cool to be able to, you know, kind of uncover that. In addition to those trusses with the ironwork and that 100-year-old maple floor. I mean, it's a spectacular building.
Very, very cool. And those who have been around a while know that building has been around a long time. You said 150 years for the schoolhouse part?
Yes, nearly. It was built in 1877, and the addition was 1924. So,
wow. All right. Now, tell us, I'm curious about the meeting, too.
Yeah.
Tell us about the meeting. Who and why, maybe, is more specific. Why were all these people here?
So this is an opportunity for these professionals to network and to be informed on what's going on and where the opportunities are. Now, Rusty Hughes, who's our economic development director, she's on the board. And so as I understand, either 7 from the private sector, 8 from the public sector, or vice versa, are on this board. And then the chair changes between public and private each year. Well, she lobbied for us to host it. And when you host the meeting, you get to show off all of the exciting things happening in your community.
Sure.
So we were able to show, you know, an update on the Winco project on North Main. We were able to show not only that Findlay Hyundai is open now in the Sienna Hills Auto Mall off Exit 13, but we also had a panel of the other stakeholders and land owners or contracted who have the contracts with CITLA there. They were on a panel, so we showed that. We showed off all of the work and progress with Freeport West. That's that our Southwest Logistics Center. And so we were able to kind of give them an update. And you know what it occurred to me as I was listening to others present, right? These are the professionals that are making these projects happen. It occurred to me how much we've done in the last 3 years and what a benefit it is to the city. We've been able to bring in these, you know, services that the community wants, sales tax generating projects, job providing projects, all without losing the heritage and the character of our city, but it strengthens our ability to fund police officers, firefighters, maintain our roads, and even build a few parks and trails. So it was like kind of a victory lap for Washington. We kind of got to show off what we're doing, and the momentum just continues to build, Andy. It's really exciting. It's an exciting time for us.
So I know listeners right now are saying, okay, he mentioned Winco, he mentioned the Auto Mall. I'm sure people are looking for a timeline. Do you have some ideas time-wise on when stuff like Winco will be done?
Yeah, I anticipate Winco to break ground within the first quarter of this year. Okay. They have all of their entitlements. In fact, on the RS Southwest Logistics Center, JP Excavating has been moving just massive amounts of dirt. The road is punched down. Washington Fields Road is punched down. They pulled building permits on two roughly 200,000 square foot buildings. Those are some of the smaller buildings.
The little ones.
You know, so they started. They pulled those permits literally yesterday. Findlay Hyundai will be opening. They sold the first car in December, but we're going to have a ribbon cutting and formal opening in February. But I can tell you that 4 or 5 additional of lots are now sold in the Sienna Hills Auto Mall. There are a couple of lots pending and maybe 4 or 5 available. So now we're starting to see this Auto Mall in Washington, off Washington Parkway, really come to life. Once you have a dealership open, operating, especially from a reputable group like Findlay, it's starting to become real.
Yeah, for sure. Over Green Springs and Buena Vista.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
They got the big new Maverick, which is nice. I say new. It's been around for, 8 months or something now. But a whole bunch of other stuff going in there.
Yeah, let me give you an update on that. So we thought we were going to have the first Panera Bread in the state. It ends up it's going to be the second. But Panera Bread is there. And then right next to Panera Bread is this really interesting concept of Cypress Credit Union is coming in. But they are building a two-story building. They will share half of the main level with a quick-service retail. So I'm not sure if that's going to be a restaurant or what. And then I think it's Galloway, which is Architects and Engineers Professional Office. They're going to go on the second level of that building. And then just to the north, there is a, it's another Marriott brand. I want to say Residence Inn, but I'd have to just look at my notes for sure. That is under construction. And that's going to be tied in with that Spring Hill Suites. And they'll share kind of their pool amenity. And then there's additional opportunity for, you know, like retail, strip mall retail. And then there's some other opportunity for retail across Green Spring to the west, just kind of north of that Chevron station. Okay. Not Chevron, whatever. The other gas station across from the Maverick.
Yeah.
Might be a Shell. I can't remember.
Not gonna say what I think of it, because they're, for a while their prices were pretty bad. They've come down now because the Maverick is there. But
yeah,
when they were the only game in town, it was pretty brutal.
It was the cash cow.
Yeah, it was.
But it was gas, not milk, that was coming from the, you know, gas cow.
Yeah, good point. So is that where Washington City ends in, is Green Spring, or does it go a little
pretty
further?
Pretty close. We go a little bit on to Red Hills Parkway. And we've talked about that. We're widening that to 5 lanes right now. So that's currently under construction,
big time, yeah.
Which is critical because we want those, you know, we want to be able to move traffic without, you know, having a frontage road works great with people not wanting to get on the freeway. So we're going to line that up with that intersection. Our Buena Vista Boulevard ties primarily into St. George at Red Hills Parkway, but some of that is Washington City. So that's under construction right now.
Okay.
And a little bit of improvements and widening to that, intersection where Green Spring and you know, Buena Vista and Red Cliffs, all those converge.
Right. Awesome. It seemed like I was going to ask about something else, but it slipped my mind because we got talking about Green Spring. But Winco, I think, you know, it's funny, when I go to Northern Utah to visit the grandkids, we always stop at Trader Joe's and Winco. Those are my two go-to places. It's great. We're going to have a Winco. Rumors flying around about Trader Joe's. Can you shed any more light on any of that? No?
Yeah. I have nothing concrete other than there's just been a discussion of a few different locations within the greater Washington City area.
Yeah. I asked, I can't remember who it was. One of the economic, maybe it was the St. George Economic Development guy. And I said, do you, because a lot of these companies, like Trader Joe's, they have a specific population number. And of course, it makes sense. They want to make sure they're going to make money. But I said, do you explain to them that we are a unique place here in Southern Utah? We have, you know, in the county, 200,000. But any given weekend, you know, especially in the wintertime, we have double that. You know, and I just wondered, do they know that?
So that's interesting. On the panel discussion yesterday at the Utah Alliance meeting that we hosted, the question was asked from the audience of what challenges do you have bringing forward economic development in Southern Utah?
Mm-hmm.
And the panelists agreed that just the perception and the understanding of this local market, the way you explained it, that not only with, you know, a kind of a thriving local you know, residency, but also with the vast amounts of visitors that come through, mm-hmm. it changes what might be your traditional metrics of data that you would use to decide
it
whether
should, or not. Anyway.
So, yeah. So that's one of the big hurdles that these commercial realtors and developers have to clear in order to bring in these brands that we want, like a Trader Joe's,
yeah.
and other. I mean, we've got some pretty interesting conversations happening with other major retailers that would bring, you know, massive amounts of traffic off the freeway. And again, those are things that we keep. I mean, it's that game is sometimes you have to be very tight-lipped, but we continue to court some of those big brands that would bring value to our city, and in that case, right off the freeway, so it doesn't impact greatly the quality of life of those who call it home. Yeah. But yet they benefit from the sales tax revenue that give greater public safety, better roads, better amenities.
I would tell, and they have a lot on the line. Like, there's a lot of money on the line for someone like Trader Joe's, because if they did open a store and it wasn't busy, they would stand to lose maybe millions of dollars, right, in the long run. But I could tell them you're going to make money. If you built a Trader Joe's in Washington City or somewhere down here in Southern Utah, it will be busy all
There's
the
no
time.
Doubt.
Yeah. Example A would be In-N-Out Burger. Example B would be a second Costco coming to Southern yes. Utah, you know, so they need to know that. But that's just my opinion.
It will happen. Like, there's too much happening here. And then, you know, success breeds success. So I think also as we continue to land additional new brands here, even if they're not, you know, grocers, some of these brands bring traffic counts. And so a lot of times these big national retailers, they'll want to be by others successful because they can, you know, benefit from the vehicular and the foot traffic that comes.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Let's.
So there are a few spots in Washington that I could see. There's a few spots in St. George that might come, but I know that both cities are having conversations primarily through commercial realtors, not necessarily directly, but look, private sector drives. I mean, cities set the table. We help them get it through, but private sector drives these things, but we try to facilitate.
So, you know, in the news right now, obviously all over the news is the California wildfires. It's hard to believe what's happened out there with the high winds and the lack of water, which, you know, you're 100 yards from the ocean, but they can't get water to these fires. Have you thought about, as a mayor, and maybe even discussed with some of your people, the idea that something like that could happen here?
Yeah. So that discussion has been had amongst, we have an emergency response team, mm-hmm. and that is chaired and led by our fire chief, Matt Evans. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because within the city you have various departments. So it would kind of be an all hands on deck. It wouldn't just be our fire department. Now, of course, we have these mutual aid and automatic aid agreements with the other agencies within the area. But even within the city itself, Public Works would respond, Leisure Services would respond, Power would have a role. So the command central would be primarily our fire chief, but, you know, whatever disaster hit. But the, you know, I've kind of had this you know, wildfire risk and exposure on my mind more from a professional standpoint, just being in the insurance industry.
Yeah.
So we see what's happening down in the Palisades, and, you know, these beautiful multi-million dollar homes built amongst dense brush, and then you get those Santa Anas coming in at 100 miles an hour, and it's, the embers are just blowing and pushing from one to another. Now, we've pushed back within the insurance industry a little bit on what they call fire line score. They're trying to apply similar methodology or approach to California and Colorado, where you have that dense shrubbery, and I look at the sandstone out your window and the sparse brush.
Not a lot of dense shrubbery out there, yeah.
But there are areas where fire line score is a real deal. There are areas where I think the insurance industry is getting it wrong and needs for our area and needs to adjust those scorings. Yeah. But there are areas where, even in Southern Utah, where it's dense, you think down maybe along the river a little bit, where if you had something, you know, spark and go and winds, then you could see some of that be tough. But in some of those cases, it's almost like some of these what you call 100-year floods. You know, you can plan as much infrastructure as you want. We can have as much fire service as we could possibly do. And in some cases, Mother Nature just wins. You can't do anything about the devastation. You just pick up the pieces and try to rebuild as a you know, humanity.
We could use one of those rainstorms right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a long time since it's rained
here. We're 30% average snowpack this year, Andy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I have Zach Renstrom on. I think it's like 12 days from now or something. But Zach assures us we're good for a year.
And here's why I would agree, because I'm on the water board with Zach. Well, Zach is the manager. I'm on the board that works with him. Our reservoirs are full. So that's the contrary good news.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's concerning is soil moisture content is down.
That's not good.
That's not good, because a lot of that runoff would absorb into the ground before getting into our reservoirs. But our reservoirs are full, so we're good for this summer. The other thing that Ron Thompson would say is there's always February and March. So we may get some late winter, early spring snow and rainstorms that help. But what I'm what I two things that give me hope and confidence is, one, as a we've rallied around this cause as a community, so we all are implementing best practices.
True.
And two, our reservoirs are full right now.
Yeah. Then my other favorite Ron Thompson quote is, if you have enough water, you have lots of problems. If you don't have enough water, you have one really big problem.
He is legendary, isn't he?
He is, for sure. Well, we haven't been meaning to ignore you, Paul. But, yeah, we've been talking about some city business stuff. But we do want to talk about some of the projects you have going. First of all, tell us about yourself, where you're from, how long you've been in southern Utah, et cetera.
So, local boy, grew up in Santa Clara.
All right.
I went to Snow Canyon High School, went to Utah State, got a degree in horticulture there. I spent a couple of years in Russia and Siberia in the meantime, and then came back here.
You on a mission?
On a mission, but yeah.
You were in Siberia?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
You went from St. George, with it might snow once a year, to Siberia.
Yep. Yeah, we had minus 40 every day in the winter, man. And yeah, it was great. Loved it. It was an adventure. I think I loved it because it was only for 2 years. I knew I had that there was an end in sight.
I get to come home, yeah.
But yeah, it was fantastic. And then after college, came worked for St. George City for a couple of years, and then jumped over to Washington. Been in the parks department there. Been the park superintendent, cemetery sexton, just kind of everything you can do in the parks department. I've done over there in the parks department.
You got a wife and kids?
Wife and kids, yeah. Wife is. She came here to Dixie. She's not local. She's from back east. Came
really?
Out to go to Dixie.
Where back east?
Maryland.
Okay, my wife is from New Jersey.
Okay.
So
yeah, when her dad found out how cheap Dixie College was in comparison to schools in Maryland, he was happy to send her out here. And,
yeah, makes sense.
And send that check, and she loved it. She stayed. So
how many kids you got, Paul?
We got two kids.
Two kids.
Two girls.
Are they little, or are they?
They're teenagers.
Wow.
We're in the middle of that.
I understand why you might be sleep deprived.
Yeah. Yep. They're good kids, but they're teenagers.
Yeah. Do you have? You don't have any left at home yet.
What? My softball player, 17.
Oh, right. Yeah. My wife and I became empty nesters in the last 2 years, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you do miss going to the recitals and the ball games and stuff like that, but when when you're home and you're like, what are we doing tonight? And your wife says, I don't know, what do you want to do? I mean, that's kind of nice, actually. You know, it's like, let's do nothing. Let's watch a movie, or something like that. So.
No, let's get out in the parks and on the trails.
Play pickleball. He knows we play pickleball a lot. So, all right, tell us about your job. What is it you do, Paul, on a day-to-day basis now?
So I work with mainly the parks and maintenance department. So anything that goes on in the parks, trails, cemetery, building maintenance, custodial, I work with all those departments.
Okay.
And a lot of what we do is projects we've got going on.
And you know what? I jumped the gun on getting you started because we've got to get a commercial break in. So we'll get the rest of the story with Paul when we come back after this weather break.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. We've got Chris Staley and Paul Walker is here. We'll talk more about Paul in just a minute. But I got a text. We want to make sure we respond to folks. So, and this is probably more aimed, well, I mean, both of you, but we'll talk about it here in a second. By the way, Paul is Assistant Leisure Services Director in charge of parks and trails and stuff like that, right, Paul?
Correct.
Okay. And Chris Staley, of course, is the mayor of Washington City. You've been mayor how long now?
I'm in my fourth year.
Fourth year. That means November, you're running, you're up for election. You are running again, yes?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You heard it here first, I guess.
You heard it here first, yeah. Well, I figured you were. I mean, you're doing a good job, and people seem to like you, right?
I mean, so far, I don't get a lot of
negative feedback, do you?
I get a lot of very good feedback.
Okay, good, good. Okay, back to the text. By the way, if you want to text, 435-467-5842 is my text line. 467-5842. If you'd like to call into the show, 673-5890. The text, guys, good morning. What preventative measures are you taking to prevent vandalisms in our beautiful parks and trails? That's a good question because I don't think graffiti and vandalism is that prevalent here, thank goodness. But, as the population grows, that kind of stuff could happen.
The best thing we found to prevent vandalism is have nice facilities. If you can keep them up and keep them used, the vandalism problems are much smaller. If you've got a trail that's busy and people are on it using it, if people are in the park playing pickleball, then you don't have the people hanging out with no one around. And that's kind of when we've seen our vandalism problems happen.
I think it was St. George City had some problems inside their bathrooms with people abusing some of their facilities and stuff. And those are tough ones because if nobody's in the bathroom, how do they even know what's happening? So.
We've got some cameras in a few places. We try to do our best to catch when something happens and try to have law enforcement help us out when we can. But just having a quality park and people in it and keeping it nice. People want to keep it nice.
My wife used to joke around because there was a camera. She was the court clerk for 25 years, and she used to joke around that they're going to have really good footage of my murder after the fact. I said, well, I guess a little bit of camera is better than nothing. And they did finally put you know, she didn't have bulletproof glass in the court for like 20-something years. The last couple of years she did. But I was, as a husband, I was like, you guys got to step up here. Come on. Years ago, my wife was, her very first court clerk job was in Logan City when I was going to, we were both, she had just graduated. I was still going to Utah State. And, one morning a guy came in and he seemed a little out of sorts, kind of a weird dude. And he paid down on a fine and then left. And the next morning he was, I don't know if you remember this, Chris, and maybe you, cause you lived in Logan, but, the guy was robbing the seminary building. The seminary teacher came in early in the morning and surprised him, and he actually killed the seminary teacher. That was the same guy my wife had met the day before, paying a fine. So I was pretty sensitive too. Let's get some bulletproof glass in there. So all right, downer, let's go up instead of down here. Paul, let's talk about some of these cool
projects. We have it now and in the recorder's office as well.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay, so tell me about, what'd you call it, the George Washington Plaza, Chris? Tell us about that.
Yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Near the new temple on George Washington Boulevard, there's a remnant piece there where the road changed direction. And we're going to put a plaza there. It's going to have a statue of George Washington.
So tell us what remnant piece means, just an area of unused land or whatever?
Yeah, when the road was realigned, there's a little triangle piece of land that was left over.
Okay.
And so the city acquired that or retained that and figured this is a great place.
Let's do something with it.
Yeah, huh? Centrally located. It's a great street. It's a good location, centrally located kind of between Washington, St. George, centrally located in the county. It works great on George Washington Boulevard to have George Washington in Washington County and Washington City. So we'll have a statue. We'll have a little bit of information as well about how the name George Washington or Washington City came about in Washington County, some background information, and we hope in future phases to be able to add some more things that will tell the statues and things that will tell the story of the area.
So will this be a place where I can pull off and park and go walk around, or is it just kind of a where I'd already need to be walking? And tell me about it.
No, you can pull over and park. We've got benches planted in there. There's some seating areas, so it's hopefully a thing that people can come and visit. Whether you're from here or just traveling through, it's a place that you can visit and get a little bit more information, kind of welcome people to the area, get some information about the history of Washington.
And you're spot on, Paul. The statue itself of George Washington is magnificent. It's a little bit larger than life-size George Washington. It's a Jerry Anderson piece.
Okay.
And what is really special to me is that we partnered with Washington County and City of St. George. As Paul mentioned, this is really a central located piece. Mm-hmm. And so they partnered with us on the statue. So, and what's cool about it also is we're coming into this year. It's America's 250th birthday.
Yeah.
The 250th anniversary. So our hope is to have this done by Cotton Days, you know, by maybe even by April 19th when the first shot heard around the world for the Revolutionary War. We hope to have a ribbon cutting for this little plaza done, but it's going to be cool. It's going to tell local history of the cotton mission and of Dixie and of farming and agriculture, but it's also going to have a really strong component of U.S. American history. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have those red brick pavers. You're going to have some signage that talks about, just kind of George Washington and of course, Washington City, Washington County are both named after our first president, our founding father. So It's going to be really cool. We've got the renderings done. We've got most of it funded. We're doing it a little bit on a shoestring budget, you know, so we're really trying to, you know, pull together some funding for it. But I think it'll just be a really nice asset. And it's going to be so beautiful because it's right as you come around the bend, as you approach that Red Cliffs Temple, you know, which is so significant for many of us in this valley. You're going to have something that really helps you connect with our local and American heritage, you know, practically next door.
And don't forget, Paul here has a degree in horticulture, so we're going to need some vegetation there as well.
Tell him about the trees.
Yeah, so we're going to have some trees in there. We won't have any grass, so we're doing as water savings as we can. But we're going to have some cherry trees in there.
I was just going to say, cherry blossom trees in D.C.?
Behind him.
Yep, yeah. Right behind him. We're going to have a replica of the gates at Mount Vernon in there. So we're going to try to tie everything we can into
pillars,
George Washington.
Nice. It sounds amazing.
He's going to sit up high, and then it's also going to be just a really nice sign, you know, for the Washington Fields and Washington City, kind of a monument entrance also into, you know, the south end of our city, kind of that side entrance.
How do you, Chris and Paul, both of you, deal with, so I get a lot of people saying, why are they wasting money on this? Why are they spending money on this? There's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, gosh, this is just a waste. To me, some people could look at a project like this and go, what a waste of money. You know, you could be doing whatever. And I love this kind of thing. I think, and I know you do as well, Chris. I think this is really cool and something that enhances our community, enhances our lives. But there are going to be people, and you guys will hear them, and they'll say, why are you wasting money on this crap?
Yeah.
How do you deal with it?
Well, I love the word that you used, Andy, enhance. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this does. And, you know, if you don't have a connection with the place you live, meaning Southern Utah, meaning Utah's Dixie in here, and if we forget that story, if we forget that heritage, we kind of get lost as humanity. So yeah. I think there is value to not only connecting with our local heritage by having, you know, there will be some little pathways and walkways where we'll have opportunities to tell the story of you know, the canal and the open ditch flood irrigation of alfalfa fields. And I mean, at some point, subdivisions will be built on all of this land, and they'll wonder, why did they call it the Washington Fields? Yeah. Future generations. Well,
you already have that even.
This story will continue to be told there. And I don't think we can say enough about the miracle that America is. Mm-hmm. And we need to continue to be proud about that and tell our story. So, and look, again, shoestring budget. We're really looking under the couch cushions and city truck ashtrays to try to pull this thing together. I, you know, if I got to get out there with our parks guys and you know, shovel a little bit of mulch and you know, dig some holes, I'd actually be honored to work alongside those guys because they work so dang hard.
Yeah.
But there's value.
Not
it enhances August, the community. I'll probably screw something up. I'd probably hit some drip line. Yeah. Like, okay, thank you, Mayor. You know, go do something else.
Now, what year were you born, Chris?
75.
Okay, so you don't remember the bicentennial. As you were talking about America 250, I was thinking, is it really 250? Because I remember vividly, I was 10 years old when the bicentennial celebration happened, and I'm sitting there thinking, 250, man, that means I'm old.
Yeah.
I hope people in Southern Utah don't get that attitude, why do we need this crap attitude? Because I really believe that stuff is important. Just like I believe, when we talk about schools and the focus on science and math and all that stuff, we need band, we need choir, we need debate, we need, you know, drama. All those things enhance life. So.
Well, that's culture. It's quality.
Any pressure, Paul, to then produce? You got to come up with something pretty special then.
We have the ideas. He makes it happen.
Yeah, it's great to have support from the mayor and the council, and it really gives us the ability to do these quality projects.
Okay, let's get a commercial break in. We have you have another project you're working on. We'll talk about it, too, when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, Mayor Thursday. We're talking Washington City today with Mayor Chris Staley, not Chris Daly. Like some people think it's pronounced. No, it's Kress, K-R-E-S-S, which I'm going to be honest, Kress, I never heard that name before in my life until I met you.
Uncommon.
Actually, the first time I heard it, you were a sponsor of high school sports for a while.
Yes.
And we had a liner that, you know, something about insurance and Kress Daly. And I was like, I actually told, I think Devin Dixon was the account rep, yes, at the time. I said, is this correct? Is it Kress? He goes, no, that's his name. And then I was like, okay, I never heard, yeah, of it, but... And I've done a lot of games. To not ever hear a name is unusual for me. I've heard Paul and Walker many times, but yeah, never a Kress.
Some things in life we choose. Some things are chosen for us.
So is Kress, is that from your heritage? Is that a...
So my brothers, we're all boys in my house. Mm-hmm. Everyone starts with a K. Okay, I'm, yeah, the youngest. So okay, my mother was...
They were out of names?
Out of... well, she heard it somewhere else, and then there's a Lamond Cresson Woods. That's a great-grandfather from Enterprise, okay, and he spelled it C-R-E-S-S-O-N, and so that's kind of the family tie. She shortened it and changed the C to a K, and so there's Kress, and so I'm proud
what,
of that.
What are your brothers' names?
Kip, Corey, and Cole, all with, okay, K's.
All right. You could have done Kress with a K, right? Or
if you knew my mother, she's quite eccentric, and she's going to do it the way that she wants
Keith
to do
was
it.
Keith was out there, too, I think, right?
Keith? I would, you know, Keith would not have been the name.
Although, Kelly?
So the other name that was up for debate was my dad had a brother whose name was Kay, K-A-Y,
okay,
who died young in a farming accident, and my mother was going to name me Kay, K-A-Y, but I have lots of cousins, but I had a cousin who was born. His name's Mike, and they named him Michael K. Staley. Mm-hmm. And so K was used. He was born just a few months before me. And so, you know, my mom pivoted to Kress of all things.
Way to go, Mom.
And I'm carrying that for good and bad. The rest, once you get it, you usually have got it, but sometimes it's tough. Like when people correct you with your name, hi, yeah, I'm Kress Daly, yeah, and they correct you to, hi, Kress Daly, nice to meet you. Okay. If it matters, I don't bother. If it doesn't matter, I don't bother.
Yeah. I get quoted. Somebody will come up to me and say, hey, you know what I heard? I heard, and then they'll quote something that I had said on the radio earlier that day. I get that a lot too. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, all right, Paul, tell us about this other project.
Paul with a P.
Paul with a P, yeah, Walker Paul with Walker. A W.
Yep, not that Paul Walker. yeah, our big project we're excited for is we got the Wheels Park. We've been working on the Wheels Park for a while.
Give us a location now.
So it's on George Washington Boulevard.
Okay.
There's a detention basin there on the east side of George Washington Boulevard.
The gypsum debris basin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Near State Route 7 on that end.
Okay.
So
pretty far south.
Yeah, yeah. Out in the fields area, we got some land donated there, 14 acres. And that's going to be the location for our new Wheels Park. And it's Wheels Park because it's lots of activities that are all wheels related.
So we've got skateboarding, scooters, bicycles.
Yeah, we'll have a pump track. We'll have a bike track, like a mountain biking track.
And, okay.
You know, BMX biking, skateboarding, all that type of stuff will be there. So that's the name Wheels Park. We've been working on it for a while. It's a pretty complicated project. 14 acres. It's a large project with all those,
yeah,
different amenities. We've been working with Spawn Ranch. They're the designers on the skateboarding,
okay,
skateboarding part of it. They're designing all those elements. We're really happy to announce we're starting construction in a few weeks. First week of February, it's going to start. We're actually getting a few things delivered this week. The light poles, they'll be lighting like a baseball field, so we're be able to use it at night.
Nice. So which is that, big in the summer here.
Yeah, have that sports lighting will be great. It will be able to host events. We'll be able to have skateboarding events. And
now, are you a wheels guy? Do you skateboard or scooter or bike or anything?
So I haven't skateboarded in 30 years.
So you used to.
Yeah, I think all of us dabbled a little bit at those ages. But I do bike. I get out and I like to take the bike out on the trails and do that. So it'll be interesting to maybe try a few of the amenities out on the Wheels Park.
It seems like to me, you didn't mention rollerblades, which is wheels, but it seems like to me rollerblades are like, they're kind of dying. Like, you never ever see anybody on those anymore, do you?
Yeah, it's a lot less common than it used to be.
Yeah, I guess everybody would rather scooter or skateboard, I guess. I don't know.
There's no e-rollerblade, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Maybe the invention time. All right, somebody's going to get rich off of electric.
Or killed.
Well, my wife actually took mine away and hit him because I used to have rollerblades. But as you can imagine, I'm 6'5". If I go down, and then, you know, the rollerblades add another 4 or 5 inches to you. So I'm up there 7 feet. If I go down, it's not pretty. So she took them away and hit him. I think she actually, like, gave them away eventually. So, all right. So Wheels Park, do you have a target finish time?
We're hoping in the fall. Okay. So we'll start construction now. It'll go through the summer. Like I said, it's a complicated project. In addition to those wheels amenities, we've got some of the amenities that a park would have. We have a really large playground, a really large splash pad. There is some grass there, so there's some playable, usable grass. So we mentioned water before. A lot of the projects we've had recently are really good at water savings. We had the Grapevine Trailhead. There's no grass there. A lot of our trail projects in the Wheels Park, we're getting a lot of recreation opportunities out there with using less water than a typical park with a grass field would use.
As a horticulturist guy, you know, I mean, you have to walk this thin line, right? We need some vegetation. We don't want to turn into Tucson, you know, this concrete island. But at the same time, we are in a desert, and so you've got to be careful. I guess that's a tricky walk you have to make.
Yeah, it is. Shade is still valuable here. Like, we can never have enough
valuable,
shade.
Yeah.
So we want to use the water and things that give us shade and usable areas. So, and there's a lot of good plant selections that you can make things look nice without using large amounts of water.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm a big proponent of desert vegetation, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get some stuff that is going to thrive here and not die. And I've actually converted my front and side yard to artificial turf, but with vegetation around it. So it's, you know, we didn't just go, you know, desert, complete desert, you know. Mm-hmm. So
the Wheels Park will have some areas of artificial turf. Some of the smaller areas that are maybe a couple feet wide, if you come off of a bike feature and we don't want you to come into
land
gravel
on something
or anything.
Soft. Yeah.
So we have where they're maybe too small to be functional grass, it will still look nice and serve a purpose. So there's some of that incorporated into the Wheels Park as well.
Amazing. Do you have what kind of edict do you get from the leaders as far as getting these things done? Do you say, okay, here? I mean, you go to them realistically and say, this is how long it's going to take. And guys like Cress, be patient, Cress. It's happening, Cress, right?
Yeah, well, this project especially, it's such a big project. It's been anticipated for so long.
Yeah.
It seemed like
it was announced forever ago.
Yeah, it's complicated. The location of it being in the detention basin, the engineering, we had to check a lot of things. We couldn't have structures in certain places and certain elevations. So
blue clay?
Not blue clay, but no, it is a detention basin. Yeah. So if we have a 100-year rain event, there will be water in it.
Flooded.
So we have taken some measures. A lot of the features are raised a couple feet, so it will hold water. Before the water gets on the features, it would have to be a lot of water. So we had to do some engineering, and it's a little bit more complicated than just your average park project.
We've seen Sullivan Park turn into a big giant pond before when we do get that lot of water. And quite frankly, I wish we would get some right now.
Yes.
You know.
Put that design to use.
We got a minute and a half. Mayor Staley, anything else on the calendar coming up that you wanted to talk about or mention?
So just on the calendar collectively is January 20th is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate the man he was and the mission he filled. I just, if you're on your phone, you know, take a minute to look up some of the quotes that Martin Luther King Jr. said. And you'll be inspired probably just as much or more today as it was at the time that he said it. So I'm looking forward to that holiday. And I'll be heading over to the What's Up Down South Economic Summit for the rest of the day today. And we just keep doing our best for the community.
You mentioned Martin Luther King. I love that, and I wish we all could be judged on the content of our character and not the color of our skin or any other, or the kind of truck we drive or whatever. So I'm with you on that one, Chris. So, well, guys, thanks for coming in. It's always good to get an update on Washington City. I feel like even though I do not live in Washington City now, I did for 19 years, and I feel like I am a Dogtowner.
We're going to give you the honorary Dogtowner Award, Andy. We'll go get it hanging up on your wall here.
30 seconds. If somebody says you're from Dogtown, is that a compliment or an insult?
I can do it in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
A compliment.
It is a compliment.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I told that Dogtown dogged determination, that resiliency, that grit that our ancestors had. Absolute compliment.
Very good. Paul and Chris, Dogtown. He's from Santa Clara. Maybe he doesn't think the same way.
Well, my ancestors from Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. We'll be back tomorrow, Open Line Friday.